just clearly saw it through the blood tests. And so I said, okay, I need to optimize these markers. I took it. Number one is all the joint issues start to go away.
They find something that's happening with your gallbladder or your liver or your kidney. They're like, okay.
If someone with that level of heart rate variability has my level for a day or two, it's usually when they're sick.
Welcome to the Siim Lund podcast. My name is Siim Lund, and today we have a special episode. Instead of me just talking to one single guest, we're actually having three guests on. Tim Gray, the founder of the Health Optimization Summit, Joe Cohen, the founder of Self-Decode, and Chris Gethin, who's a world-renowned personal trainer and bodybuilder. We recorded the podcast during our retreat in India at the IWO Longevity Clinic. IWO offers a 7-day complete health assessment program that includes measuring over 180 biomarkers, VO2max test, DEXA scan for body fat, bone density, and muscle mass, echocardiogram, ultrasound, full body MRI, and any other test that you want. All of that at the 5-star hotel, the Leela Palace in Chennai. If you want to join me and get all of these tests and scans to check up on your health and longevity for a price that's 1/5 of what you would pay in Europe or the United States, then send me an email with the headline India to info@siimlund.com, and I'll send you more details.
Hello, everybody. This is a roundtable discussion that we have from AWO in Chennai, India. We have Joe Cohen, we have Siim Lund, we have Mr. Tim Gray over there, and we have just been having some tests here. Joe and Siim have been here before at this phenomenal facility. We're having all sorts of tests. Should we go through those tests, some of them? We've got the VO2 max. We've got the full scan MRI, full blood markers, gut microbiome test, eyesight test, skin test.
Food sensitivity test.
Amino acids.
Yeah. The 181 blood test you mentioned.
181 postural tests.
Full body MRI, chest x-ray, full scan.
DEXA scan.
The full shebang.
Yeah.
Hearing, vision, any kind of specialist.
So it's all under one roof. You know, you would pay in the US is about $25,000, $30,000, I think, for all these tests.
Minimum. Roughly. More.
A lot more.
Yeah.
And people are paying like how much here?
$6,000.
And that's including the accommodation.
The hotel and all the 5-star food.
Yeah.
Plus supplements.
Plus some supplements. Yeah.
There you go.
Got some rapamycin.
And pharmaceuticals if you need. We handed out rapamycin.
The Milky Bar kid has just handed out rapamycin here. So this is the perfect facility if you want to.
With a doctor's prescription.
Tell them to the airport.
Yeah, you got to fly out now with all.
They'll give you a prescription.
Oh, they do. There you go. Yeah, so if you really want to look at all the markers to optimize your health or see if you have any deficiencies in any way, shape, or form, this is a place where you go for your full body MOT. Really,
I've got to be honest, I didn't realize how good it was going to be before I came along. It's only because Siim and Joe were talking about it for so long that I came, and the food is far better than I thought. Like the 360 of the health, I mean, even scans of your balls, I mean, let's be honest, and even body sculpting and facials and everything, it's just like so much more than that.
DEXA scan, you've got the flotation sensory deprivation tank, and then you've got the spa treatments, you got gym.
Sauna,
deep tissue massage,
massages. You should get those if you haven't. I got some.
You keep telling me you should have this done. You should have that done. I'm leaving tomorrow.
Yeah, you got it. So that's why originally he proposed it as like maybe a 5-day or a 7-day. I said nobody's going to be able to do this in 5 days. It's not possible.
Yeah, it isn't.
You can't. Just all the consultations, specialists, this, that, going through people's results, and it's like 1 week of 5-star luxury living plus all the testing that you can do, and you don't really have time for much else.
And
the best thing is you do it here, and you're pretty much, you don't have to do any other tests for the next year as an average, like non-extreme biohacker.
But you'll be here every 3 months. But you come back just to see from that quantification based on the suggestions that they give you if you are actually improving and going in the right direction, which is good. You know, they give you some feedback. They give you some advice on what you should work on, what you shouldn't work on. Or, for instance, if they see a possible cyst in your kidney, okay, now when we do the full body scan, we're going to focus in on that area or your gallbladder or whatever.
So and if anyone has any kind of cancer markers, they could do full cancer screening. Yeah. There's more tests you could do. They have like that GRAIL blood test where you can look at cancer cells in the body. I've done that, and the whole body MRI and certain scans, and you could speak to specialists, so you can see if there's if you need to go further in any direction. There was a bunch of people I brought already that got surgeries here.
Oh, really?
most of that, a lot of them, one guy had like an eye surgery. It was like two people that had nose surgeries because there was a problem with their nasal passage, something, it was clogged by different polyps or whatever it was. People got in sleep studies here. They got things to do about, they had sleep apnea. Sleep apnea is very common. You know, it's like if you're in wherever, US, are you going to get a sleep study done by you? Probably not, unless you're like really gung-ho. Here they come to your hotel room, bam, 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 it's done.
Yeah, you usually have to be referred by a doctor to go and have a sleep study done to see if you've got, sleep apnea. But here, of course, they just come to your hotel room. The funny thing is, I have to put that in here, is that, you know, I usually go to bed around 7:30. I said, look, I can't get this done unless, it's done around 7:30. Like, yeah, no problem, we'll come tomorrow. But then they come and knocked on my door about 9:15. Woke me up. I was like, oh, this isn't probably going to work out well. But we'll see. But one of the things that I came here mostly for the full body MRI, and that's what my wife wanted as well, because like cancer does run in a family. What were the main things that you wanted from here?
I personally like the 250 blood biomarkers the most. And then I'll do a DEXA scan. Like this trip, I did a DEXA. I did, and that's important because, 6 months ago, I had a six pack. I looked great. But my visceral fat was actually a little higher than average. And I think it has to do somewhat with genetics. I put on visceral fat a lot easier than I put on abdominal fat or subcutaneous fat. And so I could look very thin, but if I put on fat, the first thing that I put on fat is my visceral fat. And that's a genetic predisposition. I have a high risk for visceral fat. So that's kind of for me, for a guy like me, you actually need a DEXA scan in order to see what is, how is my visceral fat doing? And I made changes because of that. And part, like I reduced fructose, I reduced my calorie consumption a little bit, and then it went down dramatically. And now it's like, it's very, very good, ideal. So it matches my outside.
And that was within 6 months.
Yeah. Within six
just
months.
Just very small dietary changes. And
Correct. And I knew, okay, it's probably going to be good it's probably going to be better because I just felt that I'm taking in less fructose and the fructose was coming from fruit and honey, nothing huge or anything like that, but you reduce it by half, it had a huge impact. And you could see those results very clearly in the DEXA scan, the visceral fat mass area centimeter squared. So it should be under 100. Before it was 113, now it's 73. That's a 35% decline, right? So that's a very significant decline, and you want your visceral fat to be low. So that DEXA scan was just one thing. And then what I'd like to do is as many blood tests I can do because I can't do them where I am and I can't do them as often. Like it would be too expensive. And so to know if what I'm doing is working, I need to take a lot of blood tests. And then personally, I also do the epigenetic test kind of to see like a full picture. So the true diagnostic one, they do it here as well. And because of that, I'm going to get on that leaderboard after this one. But essentially, like, I want to know I'm taking 150 supplements. Everything I take is for a reason to optimize the marker. And so I need to know that what I'm doing is working. And it turns out that my lab markers all have improved based on these supplements that I'm taking. Could I get rid of 20 of them? Sure. But the point is that, if I didn't do these labs, I'd just be like, well, I'm going overboard. It's crazy, whatever. But because I'm doing these labs, I could see very clearly, are these markers going in the range of lowest all-cause mortality? And this is the first time that all of my markers, every single one, was in the lowest all-cause mortality range. And so I could see that very clearly.
It's funny because a lot of people would say taking that amount of supplements would have some sort of conflicting effect, on your digestive system. Are they mostly in caps or powders?
Both.
Or both?
So about half.
And do you take a lot of them all at once, or you space them?
I space them.
Making sure that they're not counteracting?
So I have four shakes in the day, three of them with supplements mainly. I'll have morning one, afternoon, night one, and then I also have three capsules, three stacks, morning, afternoon, night. They'll often go together, but sometimes not. So it could be I'm taking it six times in different times, but Usually they'll go together. When I take the shakes, I'll take also the supplements.
So let me ask you this one as well. Do you actually have them all in separate containers?
Absolutely.
That you're unscrewing? You don't have them like in a fishing tackle box?
No, no way.
Or the
no, no,
or
no.
anything like that?
So
that has to take you like 15 minutes just to get each one out.
No, 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 no. It's in one box. So it's in one section. I just... all out.
Right, got
and then
it.
And I can swallow them pretty quickly.
Got it.
And then the shake doesn't take a lot of time.
Yeah, yeah. Just,
and what I do is I prepare 30 days in advance.
That's
everything.
What I do. That's what I was asking.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I get like, the guy who cleans for me, he also does some cooking. And he just, I tell him, okay, one of these in all 30. This
hopefully
grams,
sober.
Yeah. 20 grams of this in this big container. Make 30 to 40 days worth, and then he also creates it for me. So he'll create four twice a week, essentially, and so he'll put them in the fridge, and then I just drink them. That's it.
I move. We also think we need to move to Tel Aviv.
Would it be possible to get like one mega pill to put all the stuff on?
Yeah, it'd be like an ostrich egg.
So my only concern about mega pills, some formulas, mainly the ones I created, because those are the ones I know that I'm going to take long term. So like Joe's Mood Daily, that has like 10, 15 different ingredients, that's fine. But most of the time, I'm very cautious about that, because if a lab marker shows that I should stop taking something or I should take some more of something, it becomes impossible to control the dosages of everything you're doing. It's just like too unreasonable. It's like, well, I'm taking 30 milligrams of this and this powder, and now I'm going to have to add 10 milligrams here. And so because I'm changing it around pretty frequently, I like to have it, that I can control each ingredient, even each B vitamin. I look at my blood test. I don't take any more. I stop with a B complex just because, if you take any B supplement, like Tim's, your B12 was super high. You're not even taking a B12 supplement. So this is very person dependent. Whereas most people, I would say, have low B12 if they're not supplementing. And so you could see the variation is massive. To somebody who doesn't, it could be 10x. And so for me, I have to know where do mine fall. You don't want to be too high in any B vitamin. You don't want it to be low. So every single B vitamin I titrate. Me personally, I need more thiamine. I need more niacin, nicotinic acid. I need more a B12. I'm usually pretty good at. And then I need more folate, methylfolate, and B6. So I titrate each vitamin. And if I just have a B complex, it becomes too complex.
And what about you, Sim? What did you want from this mostly? Or is it just a blanket approach of everything and you come back a few months later and quantify it?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have anything special that I wanted to do. I did the MRI last time. That was a good one. I have also some cancer in my family. I did the blood test. I did the DEXA scan, the VO2 max test, some ultrasound, like those kind of simple tests. And I guess, the most interesting was, the blood test and maybe the DEXA scan and VO2 max test.
Mm. How was your VO2 max?
It was... The last time I did it, it was 66, which is, very good. This time I got 51, but I stopped beforehand because I was feeling a bit tired from the sleep loss. So I'm going to do it tomorrow again, or maybe on Sunday before I leave.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I stopped because they said it's only 15 minutes. So when I got to 15 minutes, I tapped the guy. I'm like, I'm done. They said, no, you could have carried on.
Yeah, last time I went like 19 minutes. So that's why it kept climbing. So I didn't reach the VO2 max within the 15 minutes. So I kept going. And that's why and this time I stopped around like 13 minutes.
Got it.
So yeah.
So you just got to find that sweet spot.
Yeah. Tomorrow I'll try to keep going.
Are you going to do the VO2 max, Tim?
Yes, for sure.
That's tomorrow.
Maybe. The VO2 max is one of the best indicators of health, if not the best one. Better than anything else out there.
I haven't done it since 2018. So.
Yeah, 2017 was the first time I did.
Looking forward to seeing what my results are nowadays because I'm in a much better shape.
It can change drastically from a few months, actually.
I think a pre-workout next time. A little strong coffee. So what about you? What was the main reason you came here for, Tim, other than the food?
Unofficial.
Unofficial.
Yeah, of course, it was just to see Joe, actually. My main reason, I think, the thing that convinced me most was the full body MRI. to be quite honest, because I've had MRIs like head and neck and various other things. But to see a full body MRI, I think is pretty special. And it's quite difficult to get in the UK. And it's very costly if you do get it. So that's the first thing.
How much does it cost in the UK?
Well, it's quite a few thousand.
Right. Pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a couple of grand in the US.
10% for dollars.
Right. Well, that's it?
Yeah. So it's quite expensive to get that done. And when you haven't really got anything particular that you know that's going on, it's like, well, actually.
Not worth it.
Yeah. And when you do as much biohacking as us lot do, you know, you can spend a lot of money everywhere on this stuff. So it's like, pick it selectively. So that was the clincher, I guess, for me. I liked that there's like 180 odd biomarkers tested, which was great as well. Because I often get blood works done frequently in London, like probably every week, every other week, something like this, but not necessarily the full spectrum of what we had here, and also food sensitivity. So those are really my main things. Everything else, I wasn't aware of the level of detail, or let's say the full 360 of what the service offered, actually. And, you know, I wasn't even sure about if food was included until I asked him a week before, let alone what food was included. And I think, you know, for some people that have tried to be super healthy and, you know, cheat from time to time, but eat healthy 95% of the time, coming away to India or to another country where you're not sure of the food sources, the quality of it, or what you're going to be eating, you know, knowing that the food is of such a high standard here specifically, that there's nothing to worry about and you can pick exactly what you want. So I think that that's an assurance, probably more important than the supplements I would bring with me or some of the things that I do here, is the food quality.
And what is pretty cool as well is that based on your blood work and your results, they will actually give you supplements at the end of your stay. So there you go. It can help with some of the deficiencies that you've got. And what was the first day that we were here that we got woke, you know, like 7 o'clock in the morning, they came into the hotel room. They've got an ice bucket, basically, that you put your feet in. That's supposed to help with like endorphins, dopamine. And then you do the breath work into the tube that is supposed to help with your blood pressure, correct?
Yeah.
There's a lot of like butler services that you have. You don't even have to leave your hotel room, which is pretty cool.
They came to my room in the morning. I asked them to come at 8 o'clock because I was fasted. It was faster blood tests, and they came to the room, did the blood draw right there and then. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then,
that's exactly what they did with us this morning too.
Had IV in the room as well and stuff. So it's a pretty tailored. I'm looking forward to my IV tomorrow, to be quite honest, because after my results coming in, seeing what they're going to give me.
Mm.
What kind of IV?
I'm waiting to find out.
Okay.
But I mean, I definitely would like vitamin C and glutathione in there regardless. But we'll see. They said that they're going to tailor it.
Based on the results that you looked at of mine earlier, would you say some NAC, some glutathione?
Yeah, I would say that NAC and glutathione is going to help with pretty broad spectrum stuff.
But my liver enzymes were like 43, 44.
Right, so I would say, yeah. Overall, NAC and glutathione, NAC and glycine is probably even better than glutathione. That's going to help bring down the liver enzymes and help you recover quickly. More quickly. And the LDH was also a little high.
Yeah, it was.
So that's just,
I've been very high on carbs.
Yeah, but that's just, these are just like markers of tissue damage or whatever. And that's that comes from working out, right? And you work out a lot.
Yeah.
That's normal, but you can still optimize based on that by recovering quicker. And there's certain nutrients like cysteine, N-acetylcysteine, or COQ10. One thing I still want to check is your amino acids profile, and we could better tell if you need NAC, because you could check your cysteine in the blood, which is that sulfur amino acid, so we can see if you need more sulfur.
We got tested for amino acids this morning in that blood draw, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just so it should have about that a day. Yeah.
Okay, tomorrow I'll have that. Yeah. Okay, all right. And so you guys are here for, is it 10 days?
I'm leaving on Sunday. I've been like 8 days.
So what are you guys planning on actually, you know, with the quantification? Of course, you know, we quantify a lot of things, whether it be CGM, whether it be your sleep scores or anything like that. Now with this quantification, of course, it requires a little bit more travel. It's not something that you wear. Are you guys like willing to come back now every 6 months or so to look at your scores to see how, you know, that quantification is going?
Well, I do already.
Yeah.
So this is my 6 times.
Yeah. 6 times? Yeah, way. I had no idea.
Yeah, so I've been coming for a while before even the program was launched, and I helped design the program a little bit. But I just find that there's no way I could do this testing where I am in Tel Aviv. And so if I want to see if things are working, right, I have hypothesis. Like, for example, most recently, I looked at markers of sulfur in the body. Sulfur is very important for collagen synthesis. And, you know, my level of cysteine and my level of methionine and my DHEA sulfate were low, all indicators that I need more sulfur. Now, there's no clear, very clear clinical trials that show that if I increase sulfur, then those are going to go up. But I did that, and they all either doubled, tripled, or my cysteine went up by 8x. So it clearly worked, right? And I take it so many times that I know it's not a fluke. So I've taken the amino acid test 4 times now, and I'm going to take it again when I leave. So the last time I was here, I took it 3 times to make sure, because I want to make sure that these are actually stable, and then I can see very clearly when I do something, it moves without trying things individually. Becomes like, whoa, it's interesting. So it's like certain amino acids were low. Histidine, arginine, I just increased those amino acids. Proline, I started taking AKG because that also can help increase proline. Just went up, all of them. And so it's very cool to see. I do this result that I want to do, that my goal, it gets achieved. And all of my results, my homocysteine went down. So I could see, based on what I'm doing, am I doing things correctly? Is this working? And if yes, then I know very clearly.
Yeah, I'm totally coming back. It's my second time. Probably coming back July, maybe later November or something as well. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you come here, you do the tests, and you don't have to like worry about it at home, because you can get everything done here all in one place.
And that's the thing, you don't have to go to so many different spots to get it done, which is usually what you have to do.
Yeah, and yeah, just the experience itself is also just so good, and yeah, loving it.
I think the other thing is if you're having loads of tests at home and it's not insurance covered and you have all of this stuff, it all adds up very quickly, even though people say, oh, well, actually, it's quite expensive, can't afford to do that. So actually, if you look over the year, how much you actually spend on all of this stuff, I bet over the year you're spending close to what this would cost, and you get so much more for it.
Yeah, included in the travel as well. Mm. You know, that's why a lot of people fly to India to have dental work, to see doctors, have, like you said, surgery.
Are actually super cheap. Like, if you fly economy, it's super cheap. I was surprised actually how cheap it was, and I guess the business class seats pay for the flight because it's so expensive. But I mean, this is my first time, obviously, and these two convinced me that it's something I should definitely try, and I'd like to come back again for sure, just for the food, if not for anything else.
The sea bus.
like usually you do have to go to one place, then the other, then the other, then the other. We're here, everything kind of cross-pollinates. So, for instance, if they find something that's happening with your gallbladder or your liver or your kidney, they're like, okay, when we do the ultrasound or the full body scan, we're going to focus in that area. And everybody kind of talks to each other. And you go through, people's blood reports and say, well, maybe you should focus on doing this, that, the other while you're here, which really helps. Well, you're not going to have the communication between the specialists, the doctors, the practitioners amongst themselves, because they're all in different places. So having that cross-pollination is obviously of huge advantage.
But the other thing, one thing I'd like to jump in is I went for my eye test today, and they actually have this outside of the house. They don't have it in the clinic itself. The driver from the lab, from the clinic, picks you up, and they take you over. You have a nurse go with you. They walk you straight in. You jump to the front of the queue.
Yeah.
You go and have your eye test. You go, boom, 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 walk back out. It's almost like being a celebrity. There's hundreds of people in the opticians.
Well, you are a celebrity.
Yeah.
It was actually such a good white glove service. It was ridiculously good, actually.
But that's the same when you go for the MRI as well, and the ultrasound. You go into a hospital, but you kind of jump the queue, which is a little bit unfortunate because I had Mr. Bean in the waiting room. I was like, I really want to watch this episode, but I get thrown to the front.
But yeah, there's no time really that, like, when you're home and you're working, you're not taking that week just focused on your health. Here, it's like, okay, I do a little work here and there, a couple hours, but 90% of the day is focused on my health. And, because I'm also here With participants, I also spend, you know, a lot of time helping people. But for the people that are here, when I was here just as a patient, just 100%, boom, 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 boom. And that was incredible because you don't take the time to do that.
And yeah, like for the participants, it's like fortunate you get the medical doctors helping you interpret the tests and, you know, guiding through what you need to do. You got physiotherapists, physical, you know, fitness trainers, and you got us here as well giving comments or some other recommendations. So yeah, it's for the person who comes here. Like, I haven't heard anyone say anything bad about this experience.
Everybody from the previous one,
yeah. No one said anything bad. Everyone loves it. So
everyone from me as well had great. Nobody even said it wasn't great. Everybody really liked
it. They say, like, you know, nine or ten out of 10.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's a perfect opportunity for people to kind of mingle with you guys as well, you know, at the dinners, at the lunches, at the breakfast, where they get a little bit of one-on-one time, and maybe they're going to become clients as well, you know, because they want to optimize their health for the future. You know, you got all sorts of people. People are dealing with, like, the woman who came up from Mumbai on the same flight as me, dealing with mold toxicity, even though she's got a book on how to optimize health. She still needs to optimize her own health, and this is a perfect place for it. But you got people from all around the world here. You know, I know there's people here from Dallas that I was speaking to. There's people from Spain, people from everywhere.
I think what I want to do for the next batch, and I think this is really cool, I want to have all the supplements, and they're already doing the treatments, the saunas and all that stuff. So the physical therapy and that and exercise. What I want to have is all the supplements ready to go so that right when we get the results, we can figure out exactly what somebody needs. And then we take a test at the end of it. And see, you could then see how all these things are improving or not improving, and you could see if it's working. But I'm like, based on myself and other people, I know it works.
So what would it be, like a 7-8 day gap between that first test and the second one?
Yeah, but all these tests can change pretty dramatically, and I know based on my own results. I test all these things pretty frequently. I come here every 3-4 months.
And you'll test sometimes 2 or 3 times during the time that you
They change pretty dramatically, but for reasons. So, for example, if my body's fighting an infection, I'll see a bunch of tests change, and I know exactly what to look for now. For example, the best indicator of you're fighting infection is low iron, low serum iron. You have low serum iron, I'm fighting an infection. That's it's known in the research that that's what happens. But you could just see very clearly how each marker is changing. If you have inflammation, I see a whole bunch of markers changing, some tumor markers, some cystatin C, just a whole bunch of different markers. Homocysteine will go up. And this is very clear in the research as well, because your body uses methylation when it's fighting an infection, when you're exercising. So it increases the methylation demand. So number one is you need more than one baseline test, because if you came and you have an infection, how do you know it's not just a fluke? Number two is, but you can see from the test if you're sick. There's some very clear markers, mainly serum iron, but there's some clear markers. But if we can do, it needs to be set up properly, and we might need to extend it by a day just because there's not enough time in 7 days. But it takes about a day and a half to get the results back. And if we can start it on day 2 or 3 for 4 or 5 days and then take another test, you can see how all these results are changing in the optimal direction in that period. And that would be incredible. You could see very clearly in the test. And one of the things that I've always known this, but one of the things that's become very clear is, and this is why I started a precision health company. So I've known this. This has been my philosophy for a long time. But the concept of there's one approach fits all for everybody is disproven by this program. Because I could look at everybody's results here, which I've done, and I see for every result, you're weak in here, you're strong here. That's not the same case with this other person, right? Your homocysteine is very good. I think you probably have the lowest homocysteine here. And you work out, right? And working out a lot, you can see based on how much muscle, you're working out a lot. Working out a lot increases the methylation demand. And so when I work out, my homocysteine skyrockets. I have to take a lot of methyl supplements to bring it down. And so my body naturally, genetically, is not built for heavy exercise. My whole family's like that. Nobody exercises heavily. But I can overcome it with supplements and things like that. you don't need to take a lot of methyl supplements and you still have great homocysteine, right? So that's, which is different than everybody else here. They don't work out and their homocysteine is not as good as yours. So it's very clear that each person has their own kryptonite, their own weaknesses, and you need to find what that is for each person and then fix that. So there's no one size fits all. Like if you took my protocol, it's got way too much methyl stuff for you. You don't need that. It's waste. So what do you think about that? Like that concept?
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, if people are here long enough, because I know some people that came here a couple of days ago and they've already flown out. If they're here for that duration of time, of course, it's definitely relevant. But are there any other like modalities here that you think that are missing? You know, for instance, I know we can get hyperbaric oxygen in those places,
you
not
can get it
everywhere.
Here.
Oh, it's got it here as well. There you go. It's got that as well. What about like a banya, like a communal sauna or something?
They have sauna.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, really? See, I've only been here a couple of days.
It's in the hotel.
Is there anything that they should have, like a banya? Is there anything else that you think that they could do with here that would make it a one-stop shop completely? Or have they got everything?
Yeah, I mean, like, they pretty much cover the most important things. Like, of course, you could have, like, I don't know, red light therapy, blood pressure restriction.
They have that. I don't, the problem is that that's not, like that's a continuous basis.
And that's at a lot of places.
Yeah. And you have a home device. I don't think it would upgrade anything here.
Yeah. It's not going to, like, improve the functional outcome. Or...
Yeah. I think the main thing is here is the things that you can't get at home. You can buy a red light device for 100, for 200 sure. bucks, whatever it is, 300. You have it. It's something you have to use every day anyway. It's not, that's not.
What yeah. This is. For instance, yeah. If you have a PMF mat that you go to sleep on, you're not going to find any really relevance.
Honestly, they can get it here if somebody wanted it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
If you tell them, they'll get you
like
PMF.
And the same with scans. Like last time was some guy, he wanted to get a PET scan and they had to like drive into some other hospital. You had to wake up like 5 a.m. to go there in the morning and stuff like that. So if you want to have some tests that you don't have in this program specifically, then they'll get it.
Yeah.
they'll get you to the facility where they do the tests. So they'll like, whatever you want, that they'll pretty much be able to get.
There's so they don't have some of the functional medicine tests, but my main gripe with these tests, the ones that they don't have, is that there's no research on it. Or you know,
such as what?
The organic acid test, there's not a lot of research on what a bunch of organic acids means. Now, the amino acid test has some of these organic acids, and those there's actually research. So whenever I research anything in that amino acid panel, which is like 36 markers or something, there's always research that comes up. So I know that every single marker means something. Those are the tests I like. I can look at the research. What does this result mean? What's the, what is all the research on this? Certain organic acids, there's not a lot of research. So, yeah, if there's a test with a lot of research and they're not doing, they'll start doing it. They'll find a way to do it and get it for you here.
What do you think, Tim? Anything missing?
I like the organic acids test, regardless of the.
But there's not a lot of research.
I think on an individual basis, just to use your point, as in like what you see, then adjust, and then you see the result coming out, regardless of the research on it. For instance, my organic acids test when I was at the beginning of my journey, which before I knew what anything, to be quite honest, was insanely high on so many different markers, mainly around, obviously, tartaric acid and arabinose and various other things. So fungal markers, basically, which was an early indication for me before I knew what methylation was, that there was something going on and that I had no vitamin C in my urine, basically. So my body was either sucking it up or I was deficient. So that led me on to realizing that I actually had gut issues as a result, and then looking specifically what to do to fix the gut, because I then did a microbiome test and worked on the gut permeability and whatnot. And then I tried loads of antifungals and a whole protocol for mold and for anti-candida. And I went on the candida diet for like 9 months solid. Like it was brutal because I had never been on a diet before. And then all of a sudden I just cut out pretty much everything except for meat and veg. And when you're a newbie, walking into the supermarket and not being able to buy anything other than meat and veg is pretty depressing. But once you're a pro, it's normal. And I realized that actually the candida diet and all these antifungals did nothing for me. Absolutely nothing for me. In fact, my levels stayed the same.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went keto and I went full keto for a year. Full keto. And that for an extended period of time actually was the only thing that got every single marker back into alignment.
Wow.
And so, and obviously I do an organic acids test now twice a year. So while the research isn't there, I agree that it's not enough, but some of these individual markers are absolutely critical. So it's something that I think in this test could be beneficial, considering how many people we speak to that do have leaky gut or some form of gut inflammation, or for instance, low iron, like you talk about. Low iron is often gut issues, gut inflammation as a result. So having an organic acids test, looking at the full 360 of your urine, or pretty much, and then seeing if you've got fungal markers, and then actually, yes, okay, let's look at the microbiome to see what deficient in there, and then work on that, and then fix the gut permeability. So I think that that would be one nice addition for the average user. I think for me, I mean, it's a one of my fundamental things. So as you're saying it, I get the research thing. I do completely. And we can't always just go off after everything, regardless of the research. But I think when it's indicative of where you were to where you are, I think it's worth
it. So I want to be clear about something. That I'm not saying it doesn't work, right? I'm not saying there's sometimes where I think something's bullshit and sometimes where I just think there's not enough evidence, which doesn't mean that it doesn't work. I mean, it's not true. My position with the organic acids test is that I don't think there's enough research, but I actually, because I'm open-minded, what I want to do is take it like 10 times, do a bunch of experiments with it, mainly because I need to understand that is this bullshit or not, right? For myself, right? And everyone could always have different experiences, but for myself, I want to get kind of more of a definitive picture, being okay, and see, and I'm going to do much more research once I see all my results. I'll be like, okay, this is marker is this. I'm going to try different supplements and see if I can change them. If nothing's changing or things aren't making sense, then I'm going to think it's not good, because also based on that and based on the lack of not enough research. But I'm open. That is my next thing. My main position is that I think too many people do these very advanced tests, and you're a very advanced biohacker. So it makes sense for you to do it, but most of these people are doing these very advanced tests where they're not getting an hsCRP, homocysteine. They're like, you know, so one of the participants is doing all these fancy tests, like, yeah, I'm doing a cytokine stimulation analysis and this, that. I'm like, you're anemic. Until you fix your anemia, like, these tests are not going to be relevant, because they could all be messed up if you're anemic. And so I just think you got to go with the, like, for me, I want to master all the mainstream tests that has research, which I'm mastering over time. And then once I find, okay, I've mastered every single lab marker, I know, okay, you have this 0.0, this is exactly what you need to do. This is what it means. This is the lowest all-cause mortality. And we're doing that, and I'm pretty close to that. But once that's completely mastered, at that point, I'm going to be like, okay, now I want to just do an organic acids 10 times.
I love your approach to testing, because I remember you once talking about your Wi-Fi router. So I talk about EMF quite a lot. And for me, I'm hypersensitive to EMF. So I have to turn the Wi-Fi off at night, have to charge my phone in another room on airplane mode, have to sleep grounded, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then you decided you wanted to test this. So you put the Wi-Fi router next to your bed and see if it's adjusted with your sleep in any way, and then turned it off and made sure it wasn't. I love the extreme approach. So I understand, like, doing it 10 times, doing an organic acids test 10 times to see your baseline and to see what happens when you do this thing. So I love that approach. So I always think it's such an extreme approach, but we need those extreme approaches to show us what is possible. Just like with Ben Greenfield, for instance, some of these crazy, really far out there biohacks that he does actually shows us or everyone that what is possible.
Expands the knowledge.
Yeah, and I love that. So I mean, I think just to circle back around on the organic acids test before I move on, is that, for instance, my glutathione level and my methylation from what they see from the urine was always very low. And by supplementing with glutathione, it didn't do anything for my excretion level. But working on my methylation, which obviously self-decode laid out for me of what I needed to do, and I worked with a practitioner as well, actually, by supplementing with methylfolate and trimethylglycine, in fact, my glutathione levels came up in excretion as a result, whereas IV glutathione supplementing didn't do anything. So I think there's things like that where the organic acids test is fantastic. The other thing about what they could add to this service, to the whole retreat, is
So obviously they do an onboarding and a consult call, and then they put together an itinerary. But what about having a standard marker set done in your home country before you fly out, so they have a rough idea of the plan that they're going to put together for you? Because it would actually be okay to do that in a local lab.
It's going to be expensive, though.
Yeah, they do that here in India. So they did it with me 3 weeks ago.
Mm.
But overseas,
in India. Yeah. Meaning if you get in, it's going to be expensive. So it's going to add like $2,000 to the bill.
It depends on the test. I mean, but you could have, like, for instance, liver, kidney, methylation or B12 status and, you know, 10 other things. So you actually, they've got a good picture of what it is before they build the protocol. Mm. That would be the only thing that I'd probably add. But you're right. I mean, it would add a lot of expense.
Yeah, you could do it like once here and the next time you have the baseline already. So it's even doing like this way, it's going to be cheaper than doing it.
That's why I said I think a better protocol would be coming right away. You take the test. And then if you're here for 8 days, that's enough time to get the results, make a change, and then retest. Mm. And then you could see all the things that are improving. Because I'm pretty confident we can, the program, make all these markers that anybody I've seen here have, improve them. No question about it. And, you know, it's like, it's pretty easy because there's all these clinical trials on how to improve all these markers. And the software itself, Decode, actually shows you. It prioritizes each recommendation and shows you this is going to help with these markers. Mm. It just kind of needs to be organized a little better and so that it's more rapid. And right now, it's like somebody gets it. It takes another day to send it to the person. By the time they upload it, it's another 2 days. You know, it's just like, and then they see the results. And by the time they implement it, they got to find all this stuff. Like it kind of needs to just be a little more rapid fire. And then so that you could see all those things that went by the time you leave.
I think the other thing I would add as well, just a bit of feedback on this, is that you could have a menu when you arrive.
Do you know what I was going to say? The exact same thing.
I gave them that feedback. There is a menu.
Oh well, I wasn't given one
because I'd love to go.
Okay, there is a menu.
I was going to say the exact same thing before you even come here. It's like if you think about it, let's say if you've got celiac or.
I can send it to you.
Send it to me, man. Why do you say that?
Yeah, it's in there. So we should. I guess they should. I think they should send it automatically to everyone who signs up. Here's the menu, by the way.
For sure.
Pre-plan it on the plane, whatever.
Like some people last time, they got a phone call before coming here with the team. Mm-hmm. And then based on the conversation, the team helped put together a program for them. So if they're a person who wants to come, they can ask, okay, like, I'd like to have the program already ready before I come. Then they can have like a phone
call.
That's
a good idea.
And then they discuss, okay, what's your medical history, what's your tests you've done previously, what are the things you're interested in, and those kind of things. And then they put, at least some people last time who came with me, they told that that's what they did. They had a phone call before.
I love that idea. I mean, Zoom call. I had a rough itinerary when I got here of stuff to do. And then it's like, well, actually, I don't want to do that. I don't need to do that, but I would like to do that instead. So having that built out and then dropped into my calendar, because I've obviously got workload to do in between as well. It's like, actually, when someone comes and whisks you away at 8 a.m. in the morning and you actually got
a call to do,
And it's just like, actually, it doesn't quite. So I think, a call beforehand, a more detailed one, and a menu to pick what you want, and then they can fit it together and give you a schedule for your 7 days. And you know, like for instance, on the agenda, it does say sightseeing, but it has a 2-hour window for sightseeing on one or two of the days. It's like I would actually like to have half a day out and to know that schedule beforehand, so I can tell my team the week before this is what I'll be doing and this is where I'll be off.
Yeah.
So I think that would be, you know. And I think for the target client or the person that this is aimed at is the type of person that's either running their own business, is a CEO, a founder, or lives a super busy life and has a really busy schedule. So having that planned out front would be, I think, an elite service.
Mm.
So a couple carry on.
Cool. Even then, like, so if you're trying to, if my own experience is like, if you want to do some tests, like I didn't come with a scheduled program here. So I was like, okay, tomorrow, I'll message the happy person who helps me out. Tomorrow, I want to do the MRI or whatever. Tomorrow, I want to do the VO2max. And they say, okay, let's do it tomorrow, blah, 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 this time. So it's like, even here, you can like very rapidly change the program as you wish and maybe add tests or remove tests or whatever.
So that's kind of the balance, is that it's more like on demand here. Whereas, and also the schedule, even if you have a schedule, it could change because they might find something or you might decide you want to do another test. So I'm the same as Sim. I'm just like, he mentioned the hearing test and the vision test. I'm like, I forgot about that.
tomorrow. Please set it up.
That's where the menu would be ideal. But the other thing, the other side of that is that something that's quite charming is them saying, oh, let's do an eye test. Yeah, I didn't know about the eye test, for instance. I was like, actually, I've needed one, but I didn't think. And if it had been on the menu, I may or may not have ticked it.
I think it's on the it's on brochure. Some kind of brochure.
But the brochure is like very big, so
read it. No, but they have all the services on the brochure. They have the menus.
All the tests.
Maybe it just needs to be, I think, communicated better. Probably somebody needs to get
an email in your room, maybe. You know,
yeah. Somebody needs to get in a call and just be like, okay, here, look, here's the menu. Here's all these services. Please pick which ones you want.
And they should suggest the ones that you should have regardless of if you want them or not.
Right.
Because, like, for instance, the eye test, if I didn't know my eyes were deteriorating and I would have just said no straight away. But because they say, we think you should do an eye test, I'm like, okay, fine. And then I find that I actually need glasses for reading or need to do more yoga for my eyes to be able to read without glasses. So I think there's things like that and some of the postural alignment things that I would not have done because I think I've done it all.
Right.
But the point is when they get you to do it and whisk you off and put you on this process, I think it's really quite nice because it's like you find out some stuff you would never have found out or you might have done by chance at some point.
Mm.
Same with the blood markers. Some of these blood markers I've never tested for and I would never have thought to ask to test for some of these things. So it's really nice to see, you know, that I've got some work to do in some areas that I've been blind to before now.
Yeah, it's funny. We look at these things and we like, you know, we should be looking at it in equanimity where it's like, okay, we've got everything that we need, really, but we always want to try to improve. That's just a human psyche. A couple of things that I would really like, because I'm going through all these scans and x-rays and MRIs, I'm like, I don't know how much radiation is here. I know I spoke to you about this. I think
MRI is like, completely fine. The only scan that you need, there's nothing to worry about with all these scans. The only scan that you might need to worry about is the CT scan.
Yeah, and I bet
so of your arteries. So they'll offer that service.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, if you're high risk, then it could be useful.
Mm.
It's not a huge amount. Basically, you should get 50 millisieverts per year.
It's like 1 year background radiation.
Is 1 year. Yeah. It's like 1 year background radiation. It's something that
it's
I
not
don't.
Left. It's not a lot, but it's like a little bit more.
I wouldn't recommend it to everybody. Let's put it that way. It's like, you want to think about that one. That's the only one. Otherwise, you don't.
Have depends to on your age and your risk factors. So if you don't have any risk factors and you're young, you probably don't need to.
Yeah. Well, regardless, like I was making sure that I'm wearing my earthing shoes. I want to ground myself, you know, and I was thinking, God, it'd be great to have like an earthing mat or an earthing sheet in a room or whatnot.
Mm.
You know, like, of course, we're all on our phones. We're all after work, you know, but I'd like to have certain areas which are actually, you know, Wi-Fi free or we've got plug-in internet.
Mm.
You know, of course, it's taken it to the next level because we're staying in a Leela Palace hotel. It isn't necessary AWO. But maybe when you're at AWO, there are certain areas where it's just Wi-Fi free or they have like depolarizers around, you know, like the waveguard or something like that. Because I'm, you know, this Tim, I'm much more electrosensitive than a lot of people. It's just something that I'm conscious of and I'd like to have that as a possibility.
All these things they can do. They can do if
they can get you a Faraday cage.
Yeah, a Faraday cage to sleep in, four-poster bed. That'd be great.
These are not like expensive stuff to do, right? Yeah. To get a grounding mat or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think they probably should have a couple things on tap for people who want them. Like grounding.
Speaking of which, I was going to say the water as well. You know, it'd be great to have like structured water or reverse osmosis, remineralized, you know, but I don't have the plastic bottles.
Do they have the glass?
They do have the glass, but there's a lot of plastic that is offered first, you know, and right, unless you know.
For the glass.
Yeah.
You have to ask for the glass.
Yeah. We're just picking. Just picking.
I mean, it's micro refinements, isn't it? But I mean, microplastics. The macro is great, though.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
The detail is great, but definitely there are some of the finer details that. But I guess this will iron out in time anyway, and the more feedback you get,
the more. Yeah, because like I can't think of anywhere in the world that has all of this.
Yeah.
So we are just being picky. Yeah.
And this is exactly when people come to London for the summit, they say, where can I go that I can have the full 360, full works? Yeah. I'm like,
yeah, there.
Here's 10 different places. Here's where you go for cryo. Here's where you go for banya and sauna or whatever. And here's where you go for IV. And it's just like, oh my God, it's like there's not one place that has it. And I think with this place, it does. It really does. And the thing that, really takes me by surprise is the absolute quality. Because you would think, you know, as someone from the UK or America that has, you know, let's say the best medical equipment and treatment and expertise, in fact, no, it's not like you would think. It's far better quality, and they're far more astute than you might expect.
Mm. You know, they're much efficient or more faster than the US. Like the medical quality and the medical treatment quality is like as good as in the other countries. It's
I really was surprised with that. And I think, you know, if you look at, I mean, the Western world is actually being ruined with food, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you look at even the Chinese food that you eat here, it's significantly different. I know I'm going on about food again, but the point is it's significantly different to what we have in the UK, and our food, our Chinese food is stodgy and full of MSG and all the crap.
It's
and all
good
the nasty
quality stuff. Here,
whereas
yeah.
here it's just like proper meat. Proper seafood,
grass fed.
Yeah, and I was told that the seafood here is one of the freshest and the best seafood in the whole of India.
The lobster is fantastic as well, and it's like on tap, which is like in England you'd get a little piece of lobster like this, and here it's just like
I know.
I'll take another bite of that.
When I first got it, I was like, "Oh, you gave me crab. Oh no, it's a prawn. Mm. You know, it's a shrimp. Yeah, it's pretty cool."
I guess one thing that I would improve, and it's not, I would be concerned, but like because I know when we do it here. Stephen knows all the best doctors here, and he knows he's got the whole setup already done here. It's tried and tested, so I really like that. But you know, experiencing different locations would be really good.
That's what they plan to do.
I know, so that's what they plan to do.
What expand
to different locations?
In this throughout India.
Yeah, they're gonna be
no.
Mumbai.
Also in Goa. In India is one thing, but he said that they also might do it in like Morocco, Mexico. But I would want to make sure that they have everything that they do here. But even different places in India would be cool, like Goa.
They're going to do Mumbai probably next.
Mumbai. That'd be awesome.
Because we flew through Mumbai when we came here.
That'd be awesome. There's definitely a market there because they're just opening some more like biohacking clinics there. You know, there's definitely starting to be a little bit more of a demand.
And there's a lot coming out of India right now, to be quite honest. Mm. Like, there's a lot of good stuff coming out of India. For sure. Like, for instance, the Ultra Human guys, there's one, the Ultra Human ring.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely wipes the floor with Aura.
Yeah.
Which I love. I love that it, like, Aura was good. But
what's so good about that ring?
The Ultra Human. So it's a medically approved reader. So it's better quality in terms of reading your stats. It has you can integrate your Freestyle Libra glucose monitor into the app with the ring, so you can cross-correlate data opposed to having to use two separate apps. I find that the accuracy is significantly better than the Aura.
Okay. Looks like the Aura.
It looks very similar in many ways, but it's more refined and you can drill into detail much more on quite a few of the areas. I do like the simplicity of the Aura app. Like for your home screen with Aura is better because it's just like readiness, sleep score, activity, all in one place. And you can see your heart rate variability and oxygenation very simply. Whereas in the Ultra Human, you have to dig into it. But the point is this is, let's say,
blood as well.
A startup.
Wow.
A startup from India that is actually wiping the floor with Aura.
How are they telling you your markers here?
So in India, they're about to launch this overseas as well. They have something on there called blood vision, and they will actually come to you as well, take your blood, and then within like 24 hours, other than your testosterone levels, you've got it uploaded, and then within about 5 days, you've got your testosterone on there as well. So that's all on the app as well. They came to my hotel room a couple of months ago and took my blood. So that's on there as well.
But they really do cover it from all angles. And if, for instance, I have a WhatsApp group with the two founders, and whenever I got feedback, they say, yep, we get it done. Is it? Just literally like get it done. I was like, oh, I like this. So, you know, it makes it so easy. And I think the accuracy is much better. The other thing it has over the Aura that I like is that each day you can use a swipe bar to tell it how you feel. So it can adjust based on your data. So it knows, for instance, if your heart rate variability is super high, and you might feel crap, it recalibrates to know that actually when your heart rate variability is super high, you might not be optimal for some reason, especially if you're a sympathetic dominant versus parasympathetic dominant. Right. So it's really, I love it for this reason. And my point was more that India is, and I keep on hearing this over and over again, how quickly India is moving up and taking a lot of space.
Yeah.
And I love that because it's so much more accessible here for us, maybe not for these guys yet, but
yeah. I do like that. I do like the interface and how it kind of cross-pollinates your blood and then it'll make suggestions. If, for instance, you've got high blood glucose, it'll say, okay, well, maybe you need to do this. It does. And it'll give you like a weekly report, isn't it? Every week, they'll give you a weekly report so you can see the curve, you know, and what's...
So the main thing they have is that is a sleep ring. It starts with a sleep ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's basically, let's say, Aura version 2, in my opinion, but more accurate. And because it's a medically approved,
yeah, so that
it's much, much more effective and efficient.
And that's it?
No, this is the Aura, because at the moment they're waiting to roll out an update to remove, so you can put it in airplane mode.
Oh,
I see. And when I first got it, one of the features I said is I need it to have airplane mode for the Bluetooth, because Bluetooth interferes with my sleep. And they said it would happen about December, but they've actually rolled the launch of it until February, March. Mm-hmm. So I said to them, I'm not using it again until the Bluetooth is added back in. That's the one thing that the Aura has over the Ultra Human at the moment, but they're on it.
Yes.
And they sell it in India or all over the
world? Worldwide.
Yeah. And it's actually smaller and it looks better And apparently, so what I've heard is it's the Aura, when it's not the right way up, is a lot less accurate. Whereas the Ultra Human is a slightly better fit and it hasn't got the three readers around there. And you can actually, I found that if I sleep with it upside down, it doesn't make any difference.
And they do suggest that it goes on the index finger, I believe, for more accuracy.
I don't know. I didn't
know. For the Aura?
No, for the Ultra Human.
Also for the Aura.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So yeah, so anyway, lots of goods coming out of here, over here, and it's nice how they're advancing it when we can't even get a lab like it in London. You know, and pay $30,000 to $35,000 for the treatments.
Because the rent is so expensive, yeah, right?
You just can't get it. I mean, it's just, yeah. The premises in London is ridiculous for a place of the size of this. It would probably be like $1 million a year, including government charges for the properties. Just not accessible.
Wow.
Yeah. And I've been to Chennai many times, but it's always been for work, so I haven't checked out the area. But like I was even told by one of the people here that you know from that's living in Spain, that he said, like, there's a beach here that you can go surfing on, like, 30 minutes from here. You can actually surf.
Oh.
So it seems like, you know, that you want to combine a bit of a holiday with a health optimization retreat, then you're good to go.
Do you surf?
I used to until I tore my rotator cuff and labrum.
Mm.
I got dumped pretty bad. I was like, I think I'll stop doing it. I was living in Australia at the time. So I'm yet to get back on that saddle.
I found that now over probably 5 years of tracking my heart rate variability, it's a really almost perfect indicator for how I'm going to feel that day. But the learning that I've had to go with that is that, because many people message me on Instagram or whatever and say, my heart rate variability is so low, how can I get it higher? And I'm like, okay, so what is it? What is your baseline? What is your maximum and what is your average? Because I always quote Sim, like Sim's maximum is like 290 or something or other, 300, and his average is like 120 to 150.
Your average is 120?
Yeah. And whereas mine, my average is 34 and my maximum is 110. And it's like, if someone with that level of heart rate variability has my level for a day or two, it's usually when they're sick.
Yeah, I've actually had that. Like, my heart rate variability went to like 25. One day I was thinking, what the heck? And the next day I got COVID. So
it's a really good indicator for that. But the thing to remember is that heart rate variability is you either have sympathetic dominant people or parasympathetic dominant type. So if you're generally a type A, driven, stress-driven person, pretty much the opposite of Sim in terms of stress. I mean, it's like Mr. Stoic 101. If you're one of the stressed, you know, like boo, 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 all the time and you're sympathetic dominant, then your heart rate variability generally is a lot lower. And if you're more of a chilled stoic type, then it's usually a lot higher. So I found that this is a really predicted, you know, really great and for people with high or low, but the importance is always to remember your baseline, not this is low, this is high. It's like,
and what do you do for that?
Well, probably okay, I'll start with what wrong, alcohol, because for me that tanks it. My average would be 10 heart rate variability, and maximum would be like 18. So that's one. Eating late is another thing, especially if it's a fatty meal. Carbs, not so much. It doesn't really affect me so much. You'll see that it tanks. And then at about 4 o'clock in the morning, which, that's funny enough, is 6 hours after sleep, 6 hours of processing, then my heart rate variability shoots up. So I found that alcohol is the big no-no, and it's probably the biggest reason why I stopped having alcohol more than two or three times a year, is because of how detrimental it is to my heart rate variability. And if I drink, for instance, two or three days in a row, then I'll come down with a cold or flu or something. I know that I have immune things.
Is that like a lot of alcohol, or you're just talking about a couple of glasses of wine?
A couple of glasses of wine or a couple of Negronis.
Interesting.
Whereas if I drink, for instance, during the day, not that I really do these days, like 10 pints by midday. No, but if I drink and finish at like midday, depending on the amount, and if I take binders, then my heart rate variability is fine because the body processes the alcohol. So that's what not to do. And what to do is obviously eat around sunset, not later. This is one of my biggest wins for heart rate variability. Number two, don't watch Netflix or play with your phone within an hour and a half or 2 hours of bed. And definitely don't watch any war movies or anything with killing in, because that tanks my heart rate variability. It puts me into stress state and makes me want to run away from the war or whatever. And therefore, my heart rate variability tanks. The other one is exposure to LED flickering blue lights. Not so much just the blue light, because blue light exposure does affect me, but and wake me up a bit. But it's more specifically the flickering blue LED lights that actually tank my heart rate variability to almost zero. It's just ridiculous. When I changed my household lighting, the whole lighting around the whole house, I had non-flicker, full spectrum LED lighting, energy efficient, but very good brand, Ray Lighting in the UK. My heart rate variability changed overnight, literally overnight, just from having full spectrum lighting. So those are some of the key things I would say. Incorporating breath work or box breathing before bed also helps, obviously. And also adding in trimethylglycine for me specifically is one of the big wins for my heart rate variability, as we discussed earlier. Those methyl donors, I need them. My body soaks them up like crazy. And with 3 or 4 grams of trimethylglycine, it's just the dream.
How does the antihistamines mess with the heart rate variability?
I haven't looked to see what the antihistamines did for the heart rate variability, but for the sleep, it wiped me the fuck out. Two nights in a row.
My issue with the antihistamines, I think they might harm the heart rate variability a little bit.
I'm going to have a look right now. Let's have a little look. Heart rate variability. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty low, to be quite honest. So average 17, maximum 58, which is very low for me. Okay. But I did eat quite late last night. And if you look at the chart here, you see it's flat until 4 in the morning. 6 in the morning. So I would probably put that down to the late eating. And it was the same the night before.
And high fat.
Yeah, it was high fat, high protein.
It's not clear how much it has an impact. It does wipe you out. I think it's a useful tool when you're traveling, but not for like every day.
Mm-hmm.
The meclizine, the reason I like the meclizine more than the diphenhydramine, which is Benadryl, essentially, is because it also has anti-aging effects. It's an mTOR inhibitor.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So what's yours, Sim?
I guess I can mention the VO2 max part right now. Like Joe said, that it's this kind of umbrella marker for overall health and longevity. You don't need to have it like crazy high. Based on the data, like a VO2 max over 49 milliliters per kilogram per minute is already like the maximum risk reduction. Or at least they haven't tested it above like 60 or something like that. But you know, you want to have it at least like 50 for whatever age group you are. Like ideally, you want to have a VO2 max that is, you know, 10 to 20 years younger than your chronological age for like optimal longevity. Yeah, and the reason is that it just reflects, you know, how good is your body at utilizing oxygen during physical activity. And, you know, the thing is that if you have a high VO2 max, then yeah, you have put in the work, kind of. It's not one of those markers that you can change like very easily. It's requires a lot of, you know, you have to have like a, you know, lower body weight, or you not be overweight, have general good glucose metabolism, fat metabolism, you have to be metabolically flexible, you have to have exercised quite significantly. So yeah, it's just a marker that you're like in good fitness, and your heart is also like functioning quite well. That's why I think it's like one of the best like fitness markers.
Is there any correlation between heart rate variability and good VO2 max?
I would assume so.
Yeah, you would.
I would assume, yeah, but I haven't seen in specific. With HRV, HRV is, yeah, like low stress, good fitness. I would imagine like low body weight as well. And daily step count is actually linearly associated with higher HRV. So like up to 16,000 steps a day, it still is linked to higher HRV. So yeah.
Interesting.
Walking a lot and de-stressing. I find like a sauna is also good for that. Sauna and the cold, maybe alternating between there. That's like a good like a exercise for the nervous system. Can switch between the.
It's funny, I find that sauna, because it dehydrates me so much and I have hydration issues. It stresses my heart so much, my heart rate variability tanks, and I wake up with a migraine or a headache the next day, even if I hydrate like crazy. It's actually really something really interesting for me, but my heart rate variability is always.
I would do a blood test the day after, meaning like I wonder if your electrolytes are like potassium, sodium, chloride.
Well, potassium I'm generally low for.
And could whatever, be that you just you stress that more, and because you say even though you're taking, you're still like low, you might just stress it more and you sweat a lot.
And Ben Greenfield actually says the same, a similar problem. He says that it's the phase angle test where you look at your excretion and the electricity through the cell based on hydration. It's a test that I really want to do. So I'm not sure if you've heard of phase angle test, but Ben talked about it in the podcast and I discussed it with him.
I think you can only get that in the US.
It's quite difficult to get. It's quite difficult to get. But that's a good hydration, true cellular hydration status test.
Interesting.
Yeah. Me. So, I mean, there's just not to talk about some of the general stuff. You know, and the reason why I talk about supplements a lot, just to be clear about this, because Tim mentioned, he tries to focus on the biggest hitters, which I think is right for most people. A guy like me is already doing the big hitters, and if I'm not doing them, I'm not doing them for a reason. Right. So, you know, the big hitters, you know, sleep, exercise, I'm doing those. And there's a few things that I don't do right. Let's say I go to sleep late, and that's because I want to do my acro yoga, so I have to make that trade-off. It's not like I have another option. It's like I have to make that decision. Do I want a social life with this kind of exercise? And the trade-off is later sleep. And so I try to hack around it. So, so for a guy like me, I'm already doing all these basic stuff. So I try to get the things that are, and my diet is going to be the same. Like I already dialed that in. Sleep, exercise. So all these things are already dialed in for the most part. There's not that much that I'm going to change here. So for me, I like these supplement hacks because that's what could get you another 5% or something like that with just a given supplement. And for me, that's worth it. I don't mind swallowing pills or whatever. So for me, the latest supplement hack I mentioned was sulfur. It was very clear based on my tests that I was lacking sulfur. And because I was working out a lot, I started to become deficient on sulfur, which you burn a lot of sulfur from working out, and my recovery was worse. So in the beginning, when I started working out, it's kind of fine because you can store sulfur for quite a bit, and then I've taken breaks for here and there. But then there was a period where I've been very consistent with working out, and I wasn't taking breaks. I was exercising a lot because I was trying to follow the Peter Attia approach of like, okay, now I need to do stretching. Now I need to do cardio. Now I need to do mobility. Now I need to do strength training. For, you know, I'm working out 20 hours a week. And I'm like, really? And I'm doing it consistently. I'm like, boom, that's it. I'm super healthy now. And I started like, it was like, all of a sudden I started to get tendon problems all over the place. So I was having all kinds of injuries. I'd like pull a certain place. And I thought some of that is probably I'm not doing it correctly, which because I'm not an expert in working out. But I just started at a certain point, I just started noticing like one tendon at a time was hurting. I was like, okay, this is not like an isolated injury. And it took me a while to figure that out. This is not an isolated injury. And so I realized, okay, so now let's look internally what's going on. And so something I realized, I need more collagen. So how do I do that? And I kind of looked at, okay, what are all the ways to increase collagen? What are all the methods to improve tendon injury?
And I was doing everything already. And so there's one thing left. I was taking 120 grams of collagen a day.
Just one container. Yeah.
Just a container a day. but literally 120 grams a day of collagen.
Yeah, so we couldn't eat.
Which
you were just full.
Yeah, yeah. It was probably a world record of collagen. And I thought, okay, I need more glycine, more proline. Let's just dump the collagen on, you know? And then I just... I got a little bit of diarrhea, but besides that, there was no issue. I think I went up to 150 grams at some point.
120, I'm max at 20.
But anyway, I was like, okay, nothing is changing with all this collagen. So it's like not even something in collagen. And so I looked at my blood tests more carefully and I saw that all these sulfur amino acids were low, cysteine, methionine, and the DHEA sulfate. Mm. I've also been trying to get my homocysteine down. It wasn't high, but I'm talking about 10, 11. Now it's at 9 so I take MSM. Mm. And that seems to be one of the key reasons why my family does not exercise to excess, because it seems like it wears down, number one, our methylation, and number two, our sulfur. Mm. And I was... just clearly saw it through blood tests. And so I said, okay, I need to optimize these markers. And I didn't know how much it's going to change. I took it. Number one is all the joint issues start to go away, but one by one. The tendons, it wasn't joints, it was tendons. The recovery just massively improved. And again, I don't think people are going to get the same results if you have enough sulfur. You might get some results, but they're probably not going to be the same level. Again, so it's like for me, I was doing, my inflammation levels were very low. So I was, there's a lot of things going well for recovery as far as that's concerned. But the one missing item for me for recovery was mostly sulfur, a little more methylation. And the MSM has that. It has a methyl group, but it has sulfur. So when I did that, all of a sudden my homocysteine went down. My cysteine went up by 7 to 8x almost. My methionine went up 3x, and my DHEA sulfate went up by 2.5x. So these were theories backed by some science, but was proven. And then the best proof was all of my joints and tendons healed and my recovery. And so the main thing I felt like is now I can just exercise as much as I want. Bam. 3.5 hours. I do easy now. No issues. Not sore. No pains. Everybody I'm working out with, even the flyers who are working out much less, they're just like, after an hour and a half, I'm tired, Joe. I can't. My whole body's sore. I'm like, I'm ready to go. I saw my blood test. I was even fighting an infection based on my low iron. And then I also had very slight symptoms. So I knew I was fighting something. And then, but I just went the whole week, 3 hours, boom, 3.5 hours, just. And I was never able to do that in my life. Like when I got sick, knocked out, bam, in bed. So you could see some changes. You asked me before about what are some of the mental changes. Actually, if I take a lot of sulfur and I don't exercise a lot, it actually puts me in a worse mood. So it kind of is that feeling that when you don't exercise for a day,
you don't have an outlet. You gotta have an.
Yeah, it's, you start getting like a little agitated.
It's like a
little
pre-workout and not working out.
Yeah, exactly. You get like a little restless, and you're just like sitting down. You're like, wait, I gotta do push-ups. I gotta go for a run. I gotta do stuff. So it makes you a little agitated and a little restless. And if yeah, and if I don't, I would say that. But also one of the reasons I never, it was like 10 reasons I didn't work out a lot in the past. Yeah. I only started in the past year and a half. And one of the reasons was because I'd work out and then I'd get home and be like, I don't want to work the rest of the day. I'm like, done. I'm tired. I'm not motivated with the sulfur and some other things. I'm not saying one thing, but with the sulfur and some other things, now I can just work out. Okay. Now I'm ready to work. No problem. Like it doesn't take away my motivation. And so it's very clear the methylation, number one, and sulfur both were very important for that. And you could see it in my blood test. You could see it based on how I feel. And I, again, for you, that's not the case. Your DHA sulfate was, I was actually surprised. I'm going to look at your amino acids, but your DHA sulfate was good. Your methylation was good. You're in some ways, maybe not every way, but in some ways you're primed for, you are over methylating. You're over, you have a lot of sulfur. When you work out, it gets rid of that stuff and then you feel alive, right? Whereas I was the opposite. People are very different in this approach. So this, I mean, just this and everything I've ever learned, it always tells me, like, you can't follow someone else's blueprint and expect to have the same result. We had somebody following somebody's famous regimen, we call it. I looked at his tests.
Brian Johnson or something.
We shall not name any names. Starts with a B. Ends with a... No. But no, I'm like, I didn't even know this. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? Right? Like, I thought he was just going crazy, eating whatever he wanted. Like, really just he fell off the wagon. I'm like, bro, your blood sugar, everything. I see his history in South Dakota. I could see what was going on. I was like, dude, every one of your markers is getting worse. Triglycerides are going up. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I've been following this person's regimen. You know, and I'm like, and he's like, yeah, it's more vegetarian, more carbs. I'm like, stop it right away. This is clearly not meant for you.
Yeah.
And so that's my, I mean, like, that's why I'm so passionate about it, is because, and it's very cool. You guys are EMF sensitive. I'm not. Are you EMF? Yeah. No. So, yeah, it's not like I don't have any health problems. Like, I didn't start with any health problems. It's not like I'm a mutant or anything. You know, some people are just like mutants. They're just like, yeah, I drink some shit and I'm fine and everything is good. They're just, you know, and those are very rare people. And usually they start breaking down later in life. But, one of the things I've never benefited from grounding or EMF for some reason. I don't know. I would like to understand what it is. So EMFs is one of those things where there's not a ton of research. There's some. And I would say that it seems to be specific to certain people. Not sure. Everybody's
sensitive. I know that people that have higher methyl levels and you don't have methyl levels.
Could be. I have high methyl levels.
Same here. And actually, I won't mention names, but one of my old colleagues actually had mercury levels five times mine, and mine were pretty high, five times my levels. And this person...
Start with a D.
This person was the most electro-sensitive person I've ever met. Like, for instance, you walk into a room where there was a Wi-Fi router, this person would notice.
That's a great theory.
So, it's, I mean, you become magnetic. I mean, it's... let's be honest, it affects you, yeah.
Your lead was higher.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's a great theory, by the way. Well, it could either be that you have higher metals or you're more sensitive to the metals.
Mm-hmm.
And then that could be that it... Mm. Does something interacts with the metals in some way, and maybe, you know, I would, if I see that, I mean, I'd like to see that trend more, but it, I mean,
I've seen it probably 30-40 times.
I've heard it before also.
And I've heard people that have no metal levels just don't even
register. Yeah, people who are not heavy metal sensitive.
People that are, and I've heard this many, many times.
Yeah, I mean, I've done chelation, so I think a way to test that, if you do chelation, when you do chelation, do you feel worse from it?
During, no, I feel fantastic because I'm binding to all of the
medicines. And then
48 hours to 72 hours after I finish the round of chelation, I get really moody and like beyond stress.
Because some of it is recycled.
Because it's re-landed.
What about you?
Yeah, same.
Okay.
If I chelate too hard, then I feel that I have to go a little bit easy. You know, little enough.
Okay, so this is what I love to hear.
It's taken me since 2015 to be able to get above 5 milligrams of alpha lipoic acid in my chelation therapy. I can now do 600 and it doesn't affect me like it used to.
Wow.
And the EMF doesn't affect me as much as it used to either.
This is great information because I love to understand how do I know that, you know, what works for somebody? Like if I'm going to have a client and I'm like, oh, how do I know if I should tell this person to stay away from EMFs or start grounding, right?
Yeah,
I think this
should be like a biomarker you look at, or some, you know, something that you can.
Well, at least I think what they said is number one is if you have higher metals, but number two, I think is probably the best test, which isn't a blood test. You just take chelate. How do you feel from chelators? Like I can take chelators High doses, I don't feel a thing.
Zero. I feel like I'm on rocket fuel.
I've taken 3 grams of R-alpha lipoic acid, nothing.
I did 5 milligrams, and that's all I could handle for years, like literally for eight years.
I bet you don't feel anything from heavy metals.
I mean, I've never done any, like, chelation. My metal levels are normal, usually. So.
But you've never done chelation. So I think that's probably what it is. If you're somebody who's going to be very influenced by heavy metals, either by sensitivity or by, which you can tell from this chelation.
Well, you can actually do the MELISA test as well. The MELISA test is a metal sensitivity test.
How do they know?
I don't know how they do it exactly.
That's not hair follicle?
No, I can't remember how they do it, but it's a, like, MELISA is the gold standard in terms of testing for metal sensitivities or allergies.
If I were you guys,
I used to have titanium coils blocking a vein years ago, and I had surgery to have it cut out because when I did the MELISA test, it said I was super sensitive to titanium and platinum, and there were titanium and platinum coils actually. I had 30 meters of it.
Oh my God.
So when I realized that and I thought this could be contributing towards my health issues, I had the surgery to have it, the whole thing cut out.
Wow.
And what was it do?
I had a varicose vein, basically, abdomen coming down to the testicle. And they said, oh yeah, we can just cut your neck, put feed in down the vein, block off the vein.
Wow.
And then when I had an x-ray done, I didn't know what was going on. It was early days. I had an x-ray and you could just see this coil all blocking this vein. So yeah, I had to find a surgeon specifically because not many people.
Why did it get placed in?
Hmm?
Why was it placed in there?
To block up the vein because it was a varicose vein.
Oh.
So yeah, so anyway, I had it cut out. Actually, had the vein given to me like that. And then I wanted to get the coils out. This is a weird story. I wanted to get the coils out of the vein. They gave me the thing in a test tube. So I put some bio-optimizers, digestive enzymes, and left them to do their work for 2 days. And they completely ate away the vein and just left perfectly clean. Still got the coils in the test tube now. So yeah, so bio-optimizers, digestive enzymes work.
Yeah, I've seen a video online. Have you seen that on YouTube where they put it in with a steak and it completely dissolves the steak after like 48 hours or 24 hours?
So I know that I'm metal sensitive. It's a specific one. Some didn't do anything at all. A bit like the food sensitivity, obviously. Some foods, like for instance, I now know in data that the egg whites mess me up, especially from the testing from here.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to avoid egg whites, but not
from which test?
For the food sensitivity. Yeah, the food sensitivity done here. And I've always had the gut feeling of I need to avoid egg whites. It doesn't quite resonate with me.
I'm the same.
Whereas yolks, I love it and can't get enough. So my senses are tuned to it. So that's one of the things, the sensitivity test, that I really appreciated from this trim.
That's really interesting with the whole heavy metals. I think that's something that, it's something. What I would do if I were you guys, I would do a very strong chelation test, and then when you start not feeling good, measure what normal biomarkers are getting out of the optimal range, and then see what's changing based on that. If you see, for example, your hCRP is going up, or whatever, like you want to see what is changing in the body.
See,
based on this,
I was thinking I'd do this after my next liver flush. Because, you know, liver flush being quite controversial, some people say it doesn't work. But I've seen people that have done 100 flushes and reversed all of their sensitivities, all their allergies, everything. Mm. And I know that if I do a liver flush, for instance, without any of the binders or any of the hydration stuff, then I feel horrendous for a couple of days. And it really affects me quite heavily. Whereas if I do the right things, then I'm actually flying from it. And in fact, my digestion improves, my energy improves, my hormones seem to be more in line. So I'd really like to do a test to see.
I'd love to see that. Yeah. These are the kinds of, so that's how I would really get a better idea. I mean, some of the things there's no scientific studies on. So you kind of have to, like, you could have certain theories, but you kind of have to want to test as much as possible to validate them if there's no strong scientific literature. This is an example where I don't know, how many studies are there? Someone has heavy metal sensitivities and that kind of stuff. It's like, it's not mainstream scientific literature.
That's what biohacking is, isn't it?
Right.
It's kind of N equals one self-experiment.
But we would need to see, meaning like somebody could say, I don't feel good. But what does that mean in your blood test? Like if we can clearly see, you took a blood test one day, 3 days later, you know, you did your protocol for 3 days. You're heavy metalation, you know, heavy metal chelation. We could see what happens to your blood metals, and we could see what happens to all your other markers. Is it going down? Is it going up?
Mm.
If it's changing significantly,
you could do that here.
That's what I'm saying. No, here.
Yeah.
That's why I tell people do it. I always do it at least twice.
It's interesting to see because I bet a lot of markers would go down because you collate them, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not only collating the heavy metals, maybe you're binding other things.
But even if it goes up, that could also indicate something very interesting that you might be sensitive and your body is experiencing more inflammation. So then if you have inflammation in a certain way, let's say your hsCRP is higher, then you can know that this is from heavy metals, likely.
But I think this is a great idea. I mean, once upon a time, I actually did a protocol, bio-optimizers, believe it or not, digestive enzyme test, where I was necking 150 of the digestive enzymes a day because I'd read
150 pills.
Yeah, 150 a day.
For him to say that, it's like
this guy.
Right.
All right, I'm out of here.
And
just taking my spot.
I heard that it's really good. For instance, if you have any cysts or anything like that, because it can help digest away literally the cyst tissue, or in biofilm. So I was like, okay, I'm going to test this. So I did 150 a day.
For how long?
2 weeks. Like,
whoa.
It's a lot. But the thing is
basically taking a bottle a day.
Pretty much a bottle a day.
I
heard Wade Lightheart talk about it on the podcast once and said, you know, you can take as much as you want of these. If you take it on an empty stomach, it'll go systemic and the enzymes will go around and eat the excess proteins in your bloodstream and blah, 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 blah. And then on the forum, I heard about it digesting cyst tissue. Anyway, my point is I took these enzymes and then I got hit after the 2 weeks really hard with chronic fatigue, insane levels of chronic fatigue. I couldn't get out of bed. I went to go and see my functional medicine doctor and he tested me and I came back positive for toxoplasmosis. Now, the thing is, I hadn't had any exposure to any cats or anything dodgy that would give me toxo because it generally comes from cat stool or contaminated meat. However, when I was in Thailand, I was 5 years before, and I had a cyst previously on my liver.
Oh,
and
wow.
After I did this test, after I did this experiment with the bio-optimizers enzymes, and I was re-scanned 6 months later, the cyst had gone and I'd been hit with toxoplasmosis. So it's almost like it was in my body, it was encapsulated in a cyst. And when I took these enzymes, it broke it down and hit me. And my levels were high of toxo for 9 months, like consistently. My body really struggled to deal with it.
And what did you do?
Well, I just had let my immune system do its thing for toxo and support it in every way I could. Because toxo, once you've got it, you've got it, and your body deals with it. And most people have had some exposure to it, and it doesn't hit them hard.
You don't get rid of it ever?
No, you always have like some level of antibodies to it, and because it's classed as a parasite. So anyway, my point was more throwing a supplement at it, like a chelation agent, that will then collate out some mercury that may affect your immune system or your inflammation levels can be seen as a result. So it could hit your body quite hard. So if you're doing the liver enzymes tests and things like that, it could actually show they are raised because the mercury being moved is causing you issues. Similar to using the enzymes and actually dissolving something and creating more burden for the body, which actually it did. But
I would love to see these, like you do that 150 pills a day and then do this comprehensive testing and seeing what moves. That would be super interesting.
Just be screwed for 9 months. Just do it for the team.
I mean, I think with digestive enzymes, I think they're fantastic anyway, if they're the right ones. Just because obviously enzymes are responsible for everything from our eyelids moving to how our liver processes stuff. And so having the right proteolytic enzymes on an empty stomach.
Like which ones?
Actually bio-optimizers, they have the proprietary blend as well as the proteins and various other, all the different subsets within the group.
But I don't understand what's unique about them. I can buy any of these enzymes from any company.
Okay. At the time I researched each and every one of the enzymes in the digestive enzyme stack, and it had the best ratios, higher on some of the more important ones, lower on some of the less important ones. So it's more rounded. So I found that it was pretty much had 30 to 40% more digestive enzyme types in it than the others. So I just found that bio-optimizers worked very well for me. There are several other ones, such as Dr. Dom's got one from Sucks Nutrition as well, which is on a par, if not slightly better than the Bioptimizers one, because colleagues and friends that used it don't get their sensitivities from certain foods if they take it with the food. So I'm a big fan of them. I think it's, you know, it's a super good hack.
Mm. That's something I've been exploring in the past few months, digestive enzymes, mainly because my serum total protein was a little lower. So that, not low on the normal range, but suboptimal. And so that made me think that maybe I'm not digesting all these proteins.
Mm.
So I start taking digestive enzymes. But, you know, doing the research, I've come away with popping, bromelain,
yep,
pancreatin. And these are sold by oil companies. So I'm curious myself, like, I guess I try to look at it, you know, these companies providing, it could be a great product, but these companies providing this, you know, whole shebang product, here you go.
Mm.
I kind of want to see individually what is each of these.
Mm.
So I bought them individually, bromelain, popane, and these pancreatin. So and that's what I'm curious, like, which ones do you think individually are working for you?
I think it's a synergistic effect across all of them for me, personally. I found that on their own, they're really individual ones. So I did test three or four different ones on their own, but didn't really do a
thing.
But as an overall stack, and maybe it's because I got more issues or had more issues than you do. And my liver, gallbladder might be more stressed, therefore not dealing with the right enzymes. Or my diet might not have been good enough and I wasn't having enough food with the right digestive enzymes in it naturally. So it could be a compounding factor of that. Bearing in mind also I've had a lot of gut issues through my life and a lot of liver stress as well.
Mm.
So it could be that just have a lot lower levels across the board than you, and for you it might be one individual thing. I mean, I did that approach actually with my hydration. So when I had frequent urination and I was peeing 30 to 50 times a day, I tried adding
that's in. A lot.
It was insane. I'd drink a cup of tea, and then I'd be straight in the bathroom peeing. And I'd seem to pee two or three times the amount that I would be drinking a day. It was just insane. And I was obviously fatigued and things as a result. But the point was, I added in a Celtic sea salt, which helped a little bit, but not a lot. And then I went through the minerals one by one, adding it in to see which one helped me retain the water. And for me, potassium. Within 24 hours of adding potassium into my diet, 198 kilograms to be precise, frequent urination stopped for the first time in years. I then peed four or five times top.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So that's that individualistic approach of testing each enzyme works. I think it's a great idea, but for some people, you need a full spectrum.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Oh, what was the question? The top hack. Okay. So I don't know if you'd call this a hack, but it definitely works for me because I guess, you know, I'm one of those people that can be very reactionary. I can be very anxious. I can get overwhelmed very, very quickly. And I think I found, you know, much like if you start the day off with good food and not like donuts and stuff like that, you have better blood sugar stability throughout the day. You're not going to get as many cravings. I find I am so much more calmer and mentally stable if I start the day, as I mentioned in the talk the other day, hard stuff. So doing things that I don't want to do. I don't always wake up early thinking, man, I really want to just destroy myself in a gym, or I want to jump in the ice bath or take the dog for a walk because it's snowing and pissing down with rain outside. But I force myself to do the hard stuff in the morning because I just find I'm a much better person to be around. If I don't exercise, if I don't have that cold therapy in the morning, if I don't go outside when it's dark and go for the run, I don't feel as good. I don't feel myself. I don't feel I'm as good of a husband. I'm not as good of a friend. I can become a little bit more of a recluse because I'm like, you know, I just want to keep myself to myself now, but I'm a little bit more outward going. So, you know, we know that squat strength, of course, and grip strength and leads to longevity and, you know, movement and, you know, bone density and muscle to a certain degree. But, you know, we have that mid-cingulate prefrontal cortex in our brain. Well, it's two on it. It's on the left and right hemisphere. And that has shown to actually grow or prevent shrinkage when you do hard stuff, when you do things that you don't want to do. That anterior cingulate prefrontal cortex actually shrinks And the more it shrinks, it kind of leads to the onset of aging much quicker. So as we get older, I think it's very more important that we do things that we don't want to do, because we're living in a life now where we've got Netflix, Amazon delivers, food gets delivered, we can work from home, and we have to force ourselves, not only just to, okay, I've got to just go to the gym and enjoy it, but make it friggin' hard. You know, push it, you know, like I am used to be one of those people that would just do like the 8 to 12 reps, typical bodybuilding split. But now a lot of the time I'm doing 30, 40, 50 reps, if not 100 rep drop sets. Maybe I'll get to a set that requires 50 reps, but I'll reach failure at 30. And now I've got a rest pause to get out to 50. So the more that I suffer during that time, the better I generally feel after. So maybe that workout isn't always productive for aesthetic purposes, but it is for longevity. And from an aspect of, you know, you're talking about heart rate variability, I find that my heart rate variability is much better. It's much higher if I start the day with hard stuff. Of course, there's the other components, you know, prioritizing a sleep, which I do. And if I do go to bed later but get the same amount of sleep, I find that my heart rate, my HRV does tank. It does tank a lot more. So that's why it's very important that I kind of adhere to my personal circadian rhythm and go to bed early. Like, I'm getting pretty tired now, but I guarantee you at 4 a.m. I'll be wide awake and, you know, rearing to go. So that's my window where I usually take advantage of doing the hard stuff. And then my blood sugar stability, my mental stability, my HRV is so much better for the rest of the day. And it isn't always just working out. Like I said, it could be dark and raining outside. Do I want to go out? No. When it's snowing outside, do I want to get in the ice bath? No, but I do it. And I force myself to do that.
I think I need to start adopting some of those tactics.
Yeah, well,
I
don't think your acrobatics at 11 o'clock at night, mate.
No, but doing hard stuff in the morning. I think that's the...
Yeah, I've read that.
I've heard the concept before, but I feel like that's something that I'm missing from my life right now. You know, I guess... You know, everybody focuses on different things. This is something I feel like I should focus on more.
And I think you do more so as you get a little bit older and become a little bit more fragile, because you start to justify complacency a little bit more. So I'm like, well, there's going to be a time in my life where I'm going to have to be more complacent. So I'm not going to justify it right now. I need to push myself that little bit harder as I get a little bit older.
Have you tried the tryptophan for the mental stability?
Yeah, 3 times a day. Yeah.
How does it work?
It is better. It is better. Because I was taking the 1500 megs before bed, thinking it would really help with the sleep. And it does, but I get used to it pretty quick.
Okay.
So I'd like, after 3 days, I adapt. So now I've done exactly what you mentioned to me last year, is do the 555, and that is better.
And based on your amino acid results, I might, like, you might want to up it, but we'll see your amino acid results, because you see your serum tryptophan. So we'll see how you're doing on the 1500. If it's still on the lower end, you could add in another 500 milligrams. Do you take any other mood supplements?
I was, but I don't focus on that as much now as just being aware. I'm just very much aware. And I think, you know, going away on like a 10-day Vipassana has really helped me. And to focus on, you know, releasing that oxytocin and serotonin and being a lot more present, as opposed to worrying about what I've got to do tomorrow and stressing about the past. Just being more aware is really helping me, and being less reactory and looking at, like I said, more so in equanimity.
I would use more approaches to increasing serotonin, meaning like, I have a supplement, Joe's Mood Daily, to increase the serotonin, but there's other things that, you could do to increase serotonin, like niacin. Oh, you take the niacin.
I take niacin before my sauna, yeah.
My approach is taking niacin throughout the day. Because when you take it, it kind of rushes into the bloodstream. You maybe feel better when you take it, right?
Yeah, I do. And that's when I usually get my binders, because I'm getting a better blood
flow. It's a high dosage, though, in a small amount of time. Whereas if you took it, I take it throughout the day. And I take, let's say, because you only need like 25 milligrams at a time to maximize serotonin or 50
milligrams. Let's wrap this up. Yeah. Actually, do a consult afterwards.
One-on-one. No, I'm just curious. Yeah, 100%. No, we're done, I think.
Yeah. So, final words. Come to the Ivo Clinic.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's been good to hang out, because I'm heading out tomorrow, guys. So we'll have to do it again in maybe July or November, as you said.
Awesome.
All right. Peace out.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
I came to AWO to just get some information about my health, and honestly, it's just been beyond my expectations.
A wellness program unlike any other in the country. The rejuvenating benefits of cervical flexibility. Expert cosmetology treatments. Profound insight with advanced DEXA scans.
But after being here, it's incredible. All your blood tests, urine tests, posture alignment, DEXA scans, full body MRIs, eye tests, teeth cleaning, the lot 360. It's a very, very good price because it's in India. It's five-star treatment. It's the best food I've ever had at a hotel. And that's saying a lot because I travel at least 6 to 8 months of the year.
Enhance smiles through expert care. Innovative epigenetic age testing. Measuring fitness levels with VO2 max testing. Harmony, flexibility, and tranquility through yoga. Inspiring minds with enlightening sessions.
Like you all to visit AWO for your healthcation because I think it's worth it.
All right, that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to join me at the 5-star longevity clinic in AWO, then email me the word India to info@siebenlund.com. Other than that, thanks for listening to this podcast. Make sure you follow and subscribe for future episodes about living longer and staying healthier. Thanks for listening. My name is Siem. Stay optimized, stay empowered.